It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and step into this time that we're in. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy day after Sunday, today, day before Tuesday, Steve.
Well, thank you for that. you phrase that so well. And you say, take care of your mind. What if you've lost it?
Well, I think we have in some ways lost our collective mind.
Collectively, absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy out there. But we were made for this time, and we've got a big week planned for you again. Thrilled to have in studio with me Debbie Perry Smith, and she has been really active in caring about our community, caring about our children for many, many years. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kim. It's a pleasure, and it's an honor, and thank you to Steve and Crawford Broadcasting for putting on such a wonderful show. You are a voice, you are a light in the darkness, you are salt and light, and it's wonderful to be a part of this.
Well, it is, it's a great honor to get to work with such great people, and we're an independent voice. I think a lot of people don't know that I buy my airtime from Crawford, love working with them, but it's great because I have an independent voice, and it's really important. So I'm grateful to all of you who support us. I'm grateful to all of my sponsors. But it is it's an honor to get to do this. And then, of course, America's Veterans Stories, which broadcasts on Sundays. I continue, Steve, to hear more and more people that so appreciate what we're doing there with the Veterans Stories as well.
Well, it's the content, but my hat's still off to our pal Charlie, who has figured out a way to put three of those on in a weekend, but not the same one.
I know. So one at 3, and then one at 10 at night, and one at 10 on Sundays, and one at 10 on Saturdays. So
yeah.
Be sure and check in on that. It's important that we know our history. And Debbie, you and I were chatting on the way up in the elevator that you've been really active with your children for many years, and now grandchildren. And I was thinking about it, and I got to find this. Patty had found this, which was our researcher, Patty, had found this, and I've got to find this. But there has been an Old Dominion professor who is working to change the term pedophile to a person attracted to children. And I've thought a lot about this. We care about our children. We see little kids riding their bikes with helmets on. You know, I kind of like the freedom of how I maybe
the way we grew up and
the way
we didn't die, right?
but parents want to protect their children. Yeah. But yet here we have, through school curriculum, sexualizing our children, and in a way almost preparing this, and then we see this battle of language, changing words. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I have both been on this journey for a long time, where there has been something that has just been under the surface that hasn't been right, but the veil is off now, Debbie Perry Smith.
Well, the veil is off. And Kim, years ago, I was working in the schools when my girls were in the public school system. And even then, you're fighting for parents' rights.
Mm-hmm.
I remember testifying down at the State House on different things about parents' rights and all the things that they were coming in to take away from us. Quick example, my daughter, her senior year, they have a sleepover on the big field, you know, a couple mm-hmm. of nights before graduation. They're playing flag football. She gets a concussion. She is 17. She goes to the hospital. Do we get a phone call?
Not one.
No. No phone call. And so it's like, how in the world, you know, you have your children's health and best interests at heart if even her peers don't call you to let you know that your daughter's in the ER, much less the hospital as well. So it's been going on for a long time. And I remember way back then, I was also fighting and trying to keep the health clinic and abortion counseling out of the main high school.
Right.
And people would call the school board and go, well, call Debbie. She's the leader of the against group. So I wear that as a badge of honor in fighting for children's rights and for students. And in this day, now the fight is right in front of us, just like you're saying.
Well, it is. And I found the actual article. It's in the Federalist. This was written by Spencer Lindquist, November 15th, said, transgender professor at Old Dominion University rebrands pedophiles as minor attracted persons. And so this battle of language, again, I think that you were probably in this fight earlier than I was, because it's only been within the last 5 years that I've gone down to the state house. I didn't quite understand that, but it sounds like you were way ahead of that on parental rights.
Yes, I was. And the other thing, too, is I'm also the director of Safe Rockies, which is Strategic Alliance to Fight Exploitation. And we have an alliance of 15 nonprofits that work with sex traffic victims and help prevention and education, rescue and restoration. And this is no slight thing, changing the language. Colorado is one of the most trafficked states in the United States. And people don't even understand it. They can't get their heads around it. And we have got to wake up. We are strategically located with major highways going through. We have a major international airport. And child trafficking is a real deal. And pedophilia and pornography is what is the gateway to the trafficking.
It's hard for me to believe, but I know it's there, but it's still hard to believe. How can people get more information about Safe Rockies?
We have a website at saferockies.com. No, excuse me, .org.
.org.
Saferockies.org. You can go in and find about the partner organizations that work with us. We literally are a unique funding mechanism. And what's so unique about Safe Rockies is all the alliances come together. I'm a donor advice fund through the National Christian Foundation. And we come in and help fund what 15 different nonprofits that work in this space decide are the greatest needs in Colorado at any one point in time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. And there's a lot of great work on a national level.
Yes.
A friend of mine has started Voices Against Trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I'm on that media board for that as well, because it is. It's hard to believe, but it actually is happening. And we need to protect our children. Again, changing these words. I tell you, Old Dominion, I think, is probably pretty expensive to go to. My friends, I'm not sure that we should be sending our kids to these colleges, quite frankly, Debbie.
We had that conversation around the Thanksgiving table this weekend.
How'd that go?
It was good. I mean, we really are at that point where it's let the child follow what their destiny is and what their giftings are. And if it's not necessarily related to going to a standard four-year college, then not going to do it, and especially to be indoctrinated. Why are we paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for our children to be indoctrinated and tear down everything that we have built up?
What we've worked for.
And that our veterans sacrificed
Absolutely.
And suffered for. We're losing the voice of that generation, being able to sit down and hear the truth about what they went through to save our country.
I know.
So that we have the freedoms that we have right now that are being stripped away from us right in front of our eyes.
They are being stripped away from us right before our eyes. Many of you probably saw this. It just breaks my heart that the Salvation Army is becoming woke.
Oh,
did
yes.
you see that?
Yes, I did see that.
And again, we're talking about our veterans, and I don't... defining people by race is putting people into groups. Once you put people into groups, then you take away their humanity. And granted, our history of America isn't perfect, but the ideal, Debbie Perry Smith, is perfect, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I've interviewed over 160 World War II veterans, guys that were at First Wave Omaha. These were primarily, a lot of white guys. There were, you know, there were black soldiers as well, and at that time they were segregated. Ike Eisenhower, after World War II, said, hey, we're not going to have the military segregated anymore. But it was a bunch of young white kids that were storming the beaches at Omaha to stand up for liberty and to liberate Europe from Hitler. And our kids are not even being taught that. I made a presentation to a school. It was a junior high school. It was on entrepreneurship, and we got over to the veteran stories, and I said, how many of you have heard of Normandy? Nobody, or D-Day. Nobody had heard of that. I said, how many of you have seen Saving Private Ryan? One kid raised their hand, whereas over in Europe, they still are teaching kids the history. So you've been on this. You understand how important all this is. But you know what? We haven't even done the normal things we do in this first segment. So let's get to that. And I thought this quote is really, really good. And we use this, Steve, on a pretty regular basis. And that is Thomas Paine. Because, Debbie, I could feel myself so concerned about what is happening and trying to protect our children and our grandchildren. And then I came across this quote by Thomas Paine. He says, I prefer peace, but if trouble must come, let it come in my time so that my children can live in peace.
Oh, that's good.
That's our time.
Really good. It is our time. It is. And I don't want to be one of those grandparents where my grandchildren look back at me and say, why didn't you do anything?
Yeah. And I know there's a good friend of mine has started a whole program for grandparents to get them involved in things. And I don't think she's quite ready for me to give all the information on that yet, but she will do that. So anyway, be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And I do thank each and every one of you who support us to keep our independent voice out there on the air as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. The free stuff is just the carrot to get you to vote for it. And remember, my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation, which is taking your hard-earned dollars and making them worth less. And it's because of all of this spending, these spending bills, we need to pray and work to not let this next big one be passed. But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about, Debbie Perry Smith. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, one of my great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, and they are located in Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have burger specials. For only $10, you can get any of their great burgers. That's Mushroom Burger, Bacon Blue Burger, Southwest Burger, Western Burger, or a Mac and Cheeseburger, or a Cali Burger, or I just like mine. Burger kind of plain. But let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk with Matt Menza. And he actually has sent a letter to Vail Resorts that I think is very important that we talk about. So Debbie, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Thrilled to have on the line with me Matt Menza. And he is a Navy veteran, a Navy pilot, and has moved to Colorado. He actually ran for state senate. It would have been a great thing if he was elected. I think people are starting to realize that these elections really do matter. He's a great candidate. But he wrote a letter to Vail Resorts that I thought was pretty important. Matt Menza, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Definitely. Now, you, I love to ski, although I haven't skied for several years just because we've been working so hard. And it's gotten really expensive. It was expensive back in the day, but it's really expensive now. And but you've got several children, like to ski. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so, you know, you hit it on the head. Skiing is one of those, it's actually one of the most expensive family events to do now today. And so it's nice to have all the facilities and all the amenities when you go skiing for your family. And so this year when I looked at the policies for going up to Vail and Vail Resort, they said that there's no ability to go inside any of their on-the-hill dining facilities without a vaccine passport. And so, you know, the bottom line is a vaccine passport, I don't care how you look at it, it's discriminatory, it's divisive, it doesn't solve the problem. And the problem there I have with Vail Resort is the policy is very inconsistent. It doesn't make sense in terms of their workaround. So when I emailed their corporate headquarters and said, this is absolutely ridiculous, I've been skiing Vail Resorts and Vail for 40 years now, and now that I have kids, you know, if you're 12 years and older, you have to have a vaccine passport or proof of vaccine in order to get into to their facilities on the hill. And again, when they responded to me, they gave me the boilerplate, you know, response about, you know, customer safety and trying to help with the pandemic. The bottom line, though, is they suggested a bunch of workarounds. Well, I can go sit outside. I can go to other non-Vail Resort restaurants down at the base of the hill. And so that in itself proves the fact that this vaccine passport is inconsistent and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so, you know, I want to see more people push back on this because it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to help the pandemic go away. And there's some realities that these corporate companies are forgetting when it comes, you know, to the reality of this vaccine, you know, and the biggest thing that doesn't make sense is, I know a lot of your listeners are very smart and astute. They understand that they've seen the fine print, but the bottom line is a vaccine is not the panacea that we think it is. And these corporate companies that are pushing it or mandating it don't understand that if you have the vaccine, you can still spread the disease and you can still get the disease. So why do you have passports here in Colorado?
Well, and Matt, the other thing that it doesn't even take into account is somebody that has had COVID and they now have the antibodies. I mean, it doesn't make sense what is happening here. And so I never believed, Matt, that I was going to live in an America where I would ever hear the word papers, please. And that should strike terror in the hearts of each and every freedom-loving person on this planet.
Absolutely. And when you talk about the science of the fact that in this country, we fail to recognize or discuss the other half of this disease, the therapeutics work, antibodies and natural immunity. My family, all my children, my wife and I all had COVID beginning of September. Kicked my butt for about a week, and then I was back on my feet. I lost smell and taste, so did my wife, so did my 9-year-old daughter. But, you know, we all had it. We all had it, and we have very high antibody count. When I got my test, it was, you know, twice as much as a vaccinated person. So that should count for something. But it doesn't account for anything, really, in the minds of a lot of these corporate companies that have these ridiculous policies. And when you talk about papers, I took a Nazi Germany class in college, and I hate to bring this analogy up, but it's true. And when you look at what happened between 1933 and 1945, you're starting to, in Germany, in Europe, you're starting to see a little bit of that here. And for those historians that understand that, or people that looked at these historical figures, in fact, it's frightening that we have to have papers to go into restaurants. You know, or we have to identify ourselves in a certain way in order for people to know that we're unvaxxed or not vaxxed. And this whole vaxxed versus unvaxxed is another part of, in my opinion, somebody's plan to divide and be divisive in this country. And it's not going to solve the problem. So we have to start getting the truth out there about what we need to do in order to get along and to work our way through this what they're calling a pandemic. And I'm sorry if I sound trite about it, because a lot of people have been injured or killed from the virus, but they've also been killed and injured from other viruses, too. And that's the other piece of the equation that people don't understand.
Matt, the other thing is that has been just wild is you touched on this, and that is therapeutics. There are therapeutics that we know work, and those have been withheld from the population early on, and that would be hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and those items have been withheld from the public. So I've tried to think about this. COVID is real, and I understand that. The survival rate is 99% plus of people that get COVID survive that. So it's an excellent survival rate. And that's not 99% of the whole population. That's 99% of the people that have tested positive for this. The other thing, Matt, is if we were going to do a program where we were going to run through and test everybody for the common cold and have signs up, get your test here, get your test here, get your test here, that's going to have a pretty high rate as well of people having that. And so what I'm most concerned about this on this, is, and I've thought a lot about it, it is real, but what I'm seeing is kind of this tyranny around it. And that's the real danger that I see with this, Matt Minza.
It is a hysteria. It is a, in my opinion, the COVID hysteria is more dangerous than COVID because of the way people are behaving. They're absolutely taking this too far to an extent that is frightening. And when you talk about, you know, your previous episode right before I came in, you came on, you talked about freedoms and government overreach, and absolutely, this is a major overreach that doesn't make sense in terms of the statistics. And so what I mean by that is if you actually take the CDC data of death and you parse it by age and then by comorbidity, if you're under 40, you have a higher chance of dying from the flu, and that is off of the CDC website. Now, when you talk about my 13-year-old having to have a vaccine passport to go on the Hill, that in itself is even more insane, in my opinion, mm-hmm. because children don't die from the disease. They do not, statistically speaking, children 13 years old do not die from COVID, and they're not a specific vector of it either. So, again, I think it's a pathological hysteria, and it's troubling because people are so focused on the fear of this thing that they can't take off their mask and actually, you know, see the tree through their mask. You know, it's really unfortunate.
So, Matt, the thing about it, and I thought about our shopping habits, not patronizing, for example, Vail Resorts. And I love Vail. I love to ski Vail. And I'm thinking, well, they probably won't miss me. And then all of a sudden I thought about it is, yes, they probably will still have part of the population that will adhere to all this. But if you start to take a hit, 10%, 20% of people that are not patronizing a business because the business wants to, is pushing forward these different mandates, that's going to start to make a difference to their bottom line. You've got just a couple of minutes left. What would you like to say on that, Matt?
No, I think you're absolutely right. What I would like to see is people push back. And even if you're vaccinated, I'd like to see you push back for the people who are not vaccinated. I personally have made the choice not to get vaccinated. I've already had COVID. I don't want to risk the injury due to my job or any other side effects. And quite frankly, you know, when you're pushing something this hard, it's problematic. So I'd like to see people stand up, though, write Vail Resorts, or look at an alternative place to ski, because it really does take all of us standing together to say, look, this is too much overreach. You can't discriminate against people, and you need to think about another way to handle the concern for safety over this thing. And, you know, if we can do that together, we can get back a little bit more of our freedom, a little bit more reasonable responses to this thing. Because this isn't over, it's not going away.
Yeah. I tell you what, when I start to hear the term papers, please, it is very concerning. Matt Minza, thank you for taking a stand on this. And actually, you and your wife and your five kids not skiing at Vail, that's going to start to make a difference to their bottom line. So thank you for taking a stand on
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Okay, Matt
Thank
Menza.
You, Kim. You have a good day, and thanks much.
Okay, thanks so much. And Debbie Perry Smith's in studio. Before we go to break, though, another one of my great sponsors is Kirsch Insurance Group, and they are specialists in the Medicare arena, and we're in this current open enrollment period, which ends December 7th. Marlon Kirsch is on the line. Marlon, welcome to the show.
Kim, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Marlon, when we started talking about this, October 15th, it seems like just yesterday. And again, I think it's so goofy that the government says you can only make changes between October 15th and December 7th. And Marlon, December 7th is right around the corner. And I know that you are helping people and you're saving them a lot of money and really setting them up for success with their Medicare program for 2022, but time is running out and they need to reach out to you.
Yes, that's true. December 7th is just, a few days away, and that's the last opportunity people who are on Medicare are going to have an opportunity to change their drug plans, and importantly also their Advantage plans. There's a fair amount of people that use Advantage plans, which are a substitute to original Medicare, but those plans are on the same timeline. So if you miss that, then you're going to stay on the same plan you are for next year.
Well, and Marlon, I just had a personal experience with a medication, and I only have one that had been a certain price, and I went over to the pharmacy, and it was actually double, which wasn't exorbitant, what I would have to pay. But then they told me that the actual cost, if you were paying cash, was like, oh my gosh, it would have been, let me think about this, $78, and it would have been, on the cash price, was almost $500. It was at that point, I'm like, if people don't reach out to you, they might have a really bad surprise come January 1, 2022.
Well, that's a really good example. I mean, what happened in that case, probably a company took it off their formulary, and that happens all the time. And that's why it's really important to check not just your drug plans, but your Advantage plans, which is the health plan. Because many times, even on Advantage plans, doctors go off the network. So if they've contracted with a particular company that they'll take their plan, but perhaps next year, for whatever reason, they contract with another company, you might be sort of on the outside looking in terms of if you can see that doctor or not. So that's a reason that you should also check that as well.
Oh my gosh, for sure. So this is Monday, the 29th of November, December 7th is right around the corner. What should people do today? How can they reach you?
Well, I think, people can go to our website, which is ikirsch.com. They can call us. I have staff people that are licensed and appointed with carriers where we can, take people through perhaps what we feel makes more sense to them. The other thing before I leave you, Kim, and this is just FYI, is that the Part B cost this year is $148.50, and come January 1st, that price is going to go to $170.10. So, people need to be aware of that because it's like a 14% increase, which has been the highest in 15 years.
Oh boy, Marlon Kirsch, we talk about government-induced inflation, and these are people typically that might be on some kind of a fixed income, and so that is why you need to have the Kirsch Insurance Group on your side of the table. Marlon, again, that website is iKirsch, that's ikirsch.com, and do not procrastinate because December 7th is right around the corner, and Marlon and the whole team over there can help you. Marlon, thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys all next week.
Kim, thank you very much. Take care.
Okay. We're going to go to break, and we've got a very important couple of segments coming up here. Debbie Perry Smith is in studio, and she's been very involved with parental rights and just concerned about what's been going on in our schools and our community. But something happened just recently over on the Western Slope, and Sharona Bishop, who is also very active, the FBI... actually forcibly entered her home. And again, we're talking about vaccine passports. Show me your papers, please, in America. FBI knocking down America's mom's door in America. Debbie Perry Smith, we've got to talk about this.
We do. And I just want everybody to fill up their coffee cup and come back. And whether it's this morning, this afternoon, or tonight, you still need the coffee to get through the information, right? But come back and really hear Sharona's story and about an event that we have planned to come around and support her and Clerk Peters in Mesa County on Wednesday of this week.
Okay, well, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk with Sharona and Debbie and get the details on that. So stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I really do appreciate that. In studio with me is Debbie Perry Smith. She's been, you're the director of Safe Rockies, is
yes.
that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we talked about that in the first segment, but also very concerned about what has been happening in our schools and our communities. And I have to say, Debbie, I kind of had this, I went through an angry period. I couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but something wasn't quite right. And then the veil has really come off. And then we've talked about this. I cannot believe in 2021 America that we're hearing the words, show us your papers, please. Sometimes they're not even saying please. And then the fact that America's mom gets her home gets raided by the FBI. I can't believe it.
Yeah, Sharona has been at the forefront, mainly through Mesa County, in really pursuing the anomalies of this election. Just really didn't turn out the way that we really felt in our hearts that it was supposed to.
Meaning from really an election integrity component,
yes,
correct?
Yes, exactly, uh-huh. exactly. So she jumped into this a long time ago. And I've just known Sharona, it's been just a little over a year. Safe Rockies was the intro into that. And we were working on some stuff, on some legislation for child trafficking and exploitation, and got into it. And then I just saw what she was doing out in Mesa County. And we have been friends and become very fast friends. She is a beautiful person inside and out. She's a sister in Christ, and we just hit it off immediately. Mm-hmm. And so I really, Mesa County is the tip of the spear. I believe in watching all the work that they have done regarding election integrity and the people out there that boots on the ground trying to figure out and sort out what went awry, what did it look like. Mm-hmm. And we're talking weeks and weeks of canvassing door to door. Just to find out, did you vote? Did you not vote? Oh, no. My 16-year-old, he got a ballot. He voted. You know, somebody voted for him. Or they found out that here is a lot that is vacant, but 30 people voted from the vacant
Seriously?
Lot. Seriously. Yes.
Okay, so that's one of the things that's been happening out there, is trying to verify
exactly.
addresses and how many people voted. So they've uncovered some things.
Yes, they have.
And then Clerk Tina Peters has been under fire, if you will. And I was actually at one of our women's Tapas and Topics groups. And for that particular county, sitting right next to me was the county clerk for that particular county. She presented that night. And she had mentioned that Secretary of State Griswold was going through the different counties doing what was called a trusted build on these computer systems for the different counties. And my understanding is that there could be some risk when that happened that somebody might be able to get rid of some data or whatever. And so that was occurring in that particular county. And that was before we got all of this information about what Clerk Peters did out there. So tell us a little bit about that, Debbie.
Well, I know that, number one, federal law is you have to preserve voting records for 22 months. In Colorado, it's 25 months.
Okay.
And not knowing the truth of exactly what's going to happen when they would come in and do, quote, the trusted build, Clerk Peters in Mesa County, to my knowledge, is the only clerk in Colorado that preserved her voting record, thus taking the forensic image prior to the trusted build and then taking an image afterwards.
Seems like that's a good idea.
Seems like a really good idea. Basically, she was doing her job.
Uh-huh.
She was doing her job in protecting the votes of the people that she was elected to represent and to protect, you know, their voting rights. And so she's being demonized. She's being used as an example of what you shouldn't do, because now look what's happened. They really are just dragging her through the mud. And this is a stellar woman. I mean, she is a Gold Star mom. She's a cancer survivor. She's giving back. Mm-hmm. And that was her way to give back. Her son passed away tragically. And she thought, maybe, well, this is a way now that I can get involved and serve my country and serve my state.
Her duty.
The way that her son did. Mm-hmm. And so it's... you know, there's a scripture, Kim, that talks about that the Lord will not give you any more than you can undertake, but provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And I would imagine that Sharona and Tina, in fact, I know it's like, why me, Lord? But he knows what they're made of. He knows that he can trust them to do what needs to be done.
You know, on this whole election integrity question, Debbie, this whole Dominion thing, and what happened then in, is it Antrim County up in Michigan?
Yes.
That it looks like that there was potential for some funny stuff going on. Of course, everything that happened on that night where they shut down counting for a while. I mean, there's some things that just don't match up. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If we don't have elections that we can trust, then we don't have a country. And so this whole election thing is really important. And I've seen people on both sides of the aisle right after the election and the concern about the election integrity kind of patting people on the head, saying, nothing to see here, move on, nothing to see here, move on. And at that point, it's like, if somebody's saying that, maybe I want to, I don't want to circle back. I don't want to use that term.
No, we can't circle back.
But
you
I might want to follow up and see what happened, Debbie.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I was even watching, I don't know if many of your listeners were watching any part of the Thankathon with Frank Speech and Mike Lindell over the weekend, but he came in and presented so much evidence of what they've uncovered and is substantiating his case that they've taken to the Supreme Court. And it was very well done. We actually had, there were three Coloradans that were a part of that.
Can you name them?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. They were on air. It was Ash Epp and Holly Kaysen and Sean Smith.
Okay.
Who've all been involved in digging in deep on election integrity and have motivated and activated canvassers across the state. So we started with Mesa County, and then it just exploded across the state with the canvassing and the anomalies that have been found statewide. I think Ash says we are the test kitchen for election fraud.
You know what? I feel that Colorado, Debbie, really is at the tip of the spear for all of this. And I remember when mail-in voting, I think I was on city council when that was passed here in Colorado, and I'm kind of like, boy, that seems like that could be a real problem. However, I know a lot of people love the convenience of that. But what I find interesting is that all these ballots go out and there's no real movement or real effort to make sure that people are who, I shouldn't say that. There is the signature verification. However, what you've just mentioned here, this canvassing to go out and determine where these ballots are going and are they people really there or what's happening with those. And so you can see that there's a whole new opportunity for election integrity challenges there.
Well, there is, and just as an example, I have a girl, one of my best friends that lives in Steamboat in Rout County. She had a very good friend who's been living in her home, at her address for over 30 years, that received 4 additional ballots to her address with people she never knew.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's like digging in and finding, okay, well, did these people vote?
Okay.
And so, you know, this goes way, way back when Dr. Frank came to Dr. Douglas Frank. The physicist came to Colorado. In fact, Sharona invited him to come because she'd been working with him on some COVID data, trying to prove that COVID wasn't as bad in Mesa County as they were making it out to be. And then Dr. Frank had been diving in early on, but a little over a year ago, into the anomalies of in algorithms. And so he started putting some of that and realizing that it was all tied into the census from 2010. And so Colorado... The data that he came up with Colorado was pretty devastating. We had, I believe it was like 23 counties in Colorado that showed more people registered to vote than their actual was population.
And I think that happened in Jefferson County, too.
Oh,
I
was, yes.
Just at a meeting and heard somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think they said a very high percentage. I want to use the number, but we like to make sure we're accurate.
Right.
But a very high percentage. I mean, the percentage of people voting just... doesn't quite make sense when you look at historical data of the percentage of people that vote.
Right. Well, and Kim, I even received a couple of phone calls last week, and there's been some anomalies even in the city council elections across the Front Range. No, we don't know. I haven't heard of anything on the West Slope, but I have heard of some very tight races that, oh my goodness, Arapahoe County and... I have not verified this myself, but have been told that the night of the election, there were still, by the next morning, 44,000 votes that had not been counted, which could make a huge difference in those elections that were being called ahead of time. And so I would encourage anybody that questions or even candidates that ran for different, you know, local elections, they have some questions, they need to get in touch with someone. There needs to be some research done to see.
And we hadn't really realized how important these city clerk and county clerk positions are, but we are really realizing that. Now, typically, I think city clerks are appointed probably by the municipality, I think most of the time. I don't know for sure, but county clerks, I think, are elected in Colorado.
Elected, right.
Correct?
Yeah, they are.
So these races are super, super important. But we're going to continue the conversation. You and Sharona are very good friends, and it's just shocking that the FBI forcibly entered her home. So we'll talk about that when we come back in the next segment. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of the show is Castlegate Knife and Tool, a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And in fact, I haven't purchased it yet, but I have my first Christmas present that I will be buying my son-in-law. I said, take a look at the website, and he's chosen something that I need to get ordered today. I want to make sure I get that so that I have that for Christmas. But whether or not you're shopping for a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. They also have just opened a new pop-up store at the Castle Rock Mercantile. And so if you're over there shopping, you can stop by there as well. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. In studio with me is Debbie Perry Smith. And Debbie, on Wednesday, December 1st, there's going to be an event over in Grand Junction in support of Sharona, who is America's mom. And the FBI forcibly entered her home, and then also in support of Clerk Tina Peters, who actually took a picture. You'd think that all county clerks would do this, of what the computer looked like before. You can explain that a little bit better. And after these trusted bills that the Colorado Secretary of State did on these Dominion machines. And so this is going to be on Wednesday.
Yes, we're really excited. And I would say this is an opportunity for all your listeners. If you haven't had an opportunity to get involved, come and honor the sacrifice that Mesa County has gone through really over the last 9-10 months to try to get to the bottom of what's been going on with our elections. And as you said, Kim, it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. This affects all of us.
Right.
It really doesn't matter. This is a matter of our sovereignty as a nation to have free and fair elections that are not tampered with. And so what we are doing is it's a grassroots effort. Leaders started coming together, and that's one thing I have been doing is networking with leaders of different patriot groups across the state. And
That's growing.
It is growing.
More and more people are becoming
involved. It really is.
Involved.
You are not alone. You don't have to look far in your backyard, no matter what part of the state you're in, to find a group that is passionate about what's going on. We had a new one out in Burlington that got in touch a couple of weeks ago, and they actually came to a leader's event that we had and really excited. It's like, well, this is our first time, and this is what we're doing, and we're going to show Do Not Comply, or I can't remember the name of the film, but anyway, just excited to get people engaged, because believe it or not, people still do not really have their head around what's going on, much less even understand it. And unfortunately for some, It's like a thorn in their flesh, and they don't want to pay attention, and they don't want to get involved because they feel like maybe it's a conspiracy theory. But it's being proven out over and over again. This is no conspiracy. Trust me.
It's not a conspiracy if it's true.
This is very true. Very true. So on the 1st at noon in the square outside the old courthouse in,
Grand Junction.
Grand Junction. We are going to have a rally. We've got a great lineup of speakers coming, some candidates from across the state. And this is really to show our support. What happened to Sharona and what happened to Tina Peters on November 17th could happen to any of us.
And that's...
We the people.
We the people. So first thing, on Wednesday, the high is supposed to be 70 here. Let me take a quick look at Grand Junction, because it's about a four-hour drive, right?
It is about a four-hour drive.
And so it looks like it's probably a pretty good day for travel.
It's going to be a good day.
And so it'll be at noon?
It'll be at noon. We'll start at noon. We'll probably go for an hour, hour and a half. And, you know, sometimes when you have speakers, those things run over a little bit. But we also it's called the Truth and Justice Rally for We the People. And so we're having some T-shirts printed up as well. The suggested donation, you know, maybe $20, but just to give towards Tina's legal fees, towards her funds, just as a donation, we're going to try and do that and help defer some of those costs for her a little bit.
Yes, it's very difficult when you're up against the government. The government has unlimited funds for their legal fees because it's our money. And so it is important to help her with this. Patty had found this headline that I thought was important. It says, "It begins. FBI swats mom who protested Colorado school board and they terrorizes the family." And the first paragraph said, "Historically dealing only with violent law-breaking criminals, the FBI has tragically morphed into a domestic terror organization under the control," and this is from, I should say, Leo Homan via WVW Broadcast Network published this, said, The domestic terror organization under the control of a radical leftist federal administration. This police state tactic of lawless intimidation must be stopped immediately. First, by constitutional sheriffs forbidding the FBI from entering their jurisdictions, and secondly, by congressional defunding of the agency. And it says the controllers behind this lawless act are the Great Reset technocrats who want to crush dissent and all protesters who are bucking this narrative. And Debbie, I've really thought about this. If there is no there, then I don't think that you would see Colorado Secretary of State, people from her office actually going in and raiding Clerk Peter's office. If there was no there, I don't think that you would see the FBI coming in and forcibly entering America's mom's home. And you know a little bit more about what happened that day. Was it November 17th or 18th?
It was a Tuesday.
Okay.
So Tuesday, now what, almost 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I think that might have been the 16th then.
You know, in my understanding, Sharona was fixing breakfast. She homeschools her children, and everybody was at home. And, you know, just living life. And then there came some loud pounding at the door. And at this point in time, my understanding, she did know that Tina Peters' home had already been raided.
That morning?
That morning, yes.
Okay.
Yes. But she had no clue that they would be coming to her home. No reason to be coming to her home. Really no reason to be going to Tina's home, right? But for some reason, they saw fit that this was what needed to happen. And so, obviously, when you hear the banging, she thought maybe it was neighborhood kids banging on the door. And then when she looked out, I believe, and I haven't been to her home, so I don't really know the layout or the logistics of it all, but saw maybe some vehicles out the door, saw maybe some of the SWAT team FBI agents out front, and was terrified. You can imagine running through your head, what I do with my kids, what's going to happen to my children, and was trying to, I believe, usher her her boys into their bedroom, and her daughter was downstairs, and maybe she didn't get to the door soon enough for them. I don't know, but the next thing, the battering ram was used, and the door was busted open.
Do you know what happened then?
I don't know sequentially everything, Kim, other than the fact that she was handcuffed. And
why? Yeah. Did they have a warrant or what?
They did have warrant. And there are a couple of charges on there. And I'm not going to speak to that because I'm not totally versed on it, much less the expert on it. But there were warrants. Whether they're justified or not, I have no idea. But again, was the raid justified to the level? She's not a hardened criminal.
And they handcuffed her?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. In 2021 America, my friends, we realized that this is getting a little bit out of hand here. And of course, we heard it where the FBI from the federal level was it Biden who actually encouraged them to note that parents that were coming to school board meetings and having some emotion because they're figuring out what's been going on here. And all of a sudden, parents are showing up, and that the FBI might label them domestic terrorists. When, my friends, we go over here and we have this Old Dominion transgender professor who is changing the term pedophile to minor attracted persons. This does get a lot of emotion going with parents now that we are figuring out. And the fact that when there's really bad guys that coming across the border, and bad guys that they're letting out of our jails and our prisons. And then I was talking to a friend the other day, is that they're trying to make room for all of us? I mean, I hope not.
Well, I hope not too. And I just would hope that people would understand by making the sacrifice, and I realize it is a sacrifice to drive over the Continental Divide to go to Mesa County to support Sharona and Tina, but if you haven't gotten involved, it'll be a beautiful day. Take the drive. Come and be with the most amazing people, truly, the Patriots. I have met some of the most wonderful people through this effort of trying to save Colorado and save our nation. And just encourage everyone to make that sacrifice. If you haven't jumped in, people go, oh, I can't, I don't like 8 hours. Well, let me tell you, these people have been working for months and weeks and days and hours to try to help save our state and our nation. And I personally feel that this is the very least that we can do to just for grassroots to come together, for the grassroots to rise up and to support them. And if you come, bring a sign that lets us know what county you're from. I want to see this visual of different signs from different counties. Right now, I know there's Arapahoe, there's Douglas, there's probably Larimer and Weld County that are going to be coming, potentially Elbert County. It would just be wonderful to see and to really show people in the state that it's not just a small faction, but it's the entire state that's covered and supporting them.
Well, Debbie Perry Smith, as I think about our veterans that stormed those beaches at Iwo Jima or Normandy, or we go to all of our wars and conflicts, and what they have sacrificed and been willing to sacrifice to stand against tyranny. The fact that an 8-hour drive through some of the most beautiful part of America to support these two women, I think, is very important. And again, that's going to be at noon at the Old Courthouse in Grand Junction. If they can storm the beaches at Normandy, we can drive 8 hours to stand against tyranny. And just very quickly, I do believe that Colorado is at the tip of the spear. Debbie, we've got about 20 seconds. Your final thought.
Final thought. I just appreciate, Kim, number one, being here, and just for your voice, in the darkness to be the light. And I really, that's really truly what we are all trying to do. We have all been chosen for such a time as this, and God doesn't make mistakes. And I really believe that we all need to rise up right now for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of our children and our grandchildren to save a nation that was founded one nation under God. And Tina and Sharona are God-fearing women, and they have been built for such a time as this. They are Esthers of our time for Colorado and for this nation. And we just look forward to seeing everyone out in Mesa County at the courthouse, the old courthouse, on Wednesday at noon. Thank you, Kim.
Debbie Perry Smith, thank you so much. And Thomas Paine said, a body of men holding themselves accountable to nobody ought not to be trusted by anybody. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Wandering out into this great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.